And so he said, my life is good and my death is good. Because had the Prophet lived, he said, تُحْدِثُونَ فَيُحْدَثَ لَكُمْ. You know, you do things and then things happen. Revelation comes. So if he stayed with us, everything, we'd have a ruling for everything we do. What's the airplane? What's the ruling on an airplane? It hurts the ozone. Maybe it would have been prohibited. We don't know. So it becomes a blessing because we would have been so overwhelmed with the rules and the injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we couldn't take it. So his death was a rahmah also for the ummah. It was our greatest musibah, but he said there's a rahmah in it. And then he said, إِذَا أَرَادَ رَحْمَةً بِأُمَّةٍ قَبَضَ نَبِيَّهَا قَبْلَهَا فَدِعَلُهُ لَهَا فَرَطًا وَسَلَفًا. If Allah wants mercy for an ummah, he takes his prophet before he takes the ummah. And then he makes the prophet ahead of that ummah, the community. They precede them and they prepare the way for them. And then he said, قَالَ سَمَرْقَنْدِي رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ يَعْنِي لِلْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ. This means for the jinn and the ins. He is a mercy to all of humanity. Now I want to just go over quickly a few things of why people need to understand what a mercy he is, because people don't know this. First of all, what was the condition of the world when he came into it? It was all wars. People were fighting. Europe was completely disunited. You had the Ostrogoths and the Visigoths and the Avars and the Vandals, really going, taking over cities, killing people. That was the state of Europe. It was complete disarray. India, all these petty kingdoms fighting each other. Africa, fighting each other. All over. You look at that time. The only place that became unified with his birth in 580, 10 years after his birth, was China. China was in a complete state of disunity. And according to the Chinese Muslims, their emperor, when he sent, the Tang emperor, sent emissaries to the Prophet ﷺ. This is in Chinese Islamic tradition. And I read this with my own eyes in a translation. They sent emissaries to Umar radiallahu anhu. When they got to Medina, the Prophet ﷺ had already passed. And so Omar met these ambassadors, and in the Chinese tradition, Omar tells them that the mandate of heaven has come once again to unify the earth. And so they go back and they speak in Confucian terms. That's the way the Chinese related Islam. Because that's حَدِثُوا النَّاسَ عَلَى قَدْرِ عُقُودِهِمْ. Speak to people according to what they understand. So the Muslims in China, they used Confucian language, Confucianist language, when they spoke in their books about Islam. It's a beautiful thing to do. Like, you know, we're so insistent on things when we talk to people. Allah, they know God. To a lot of Americans, God, Allah and God are separate things. We know they're not. They're the same thing. But to a lot, so if you say God, oh, I believe in God. But if you say Allah, that's their God. Seriously, but we don't think like this. So China became united during this time. Now what happens? Islam spreads so quickly, it completely unites all these different. For the first time, there was international commerce without all these brigands. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ said. He said, there's coming a time shortly when a woman will travel from Syria to Yemen and she will fear nothing but lions on the path. That's the type of security that Islam brought for these people. All the Christian sects became Muslim. And then what was left? A unified Christendom. And then when Charlemagne defeated the Muslims at Tours, it was still a rahmah for the Christians, because that's the first time Europe thought about uniting, because now they had a threat called Islam. So even Islam became a rahmah for the Christians because they united. Seriously, they united. When they had all these marauding knights in Europe, they were killing people. And what did the Pope do? Go fight the Muslims. They left. And all the Europeans could live in peace. Because they went, seriously? People don't think of this. Rahmatan lil alameen. For all the world. He was a mercy for all the world. His people, he's innumerate. He didn't read. He knew how to do basic calculation. He was a merchant. But he could not read books. And he didn't have higher mathematics, didn't teach it. I mean, we believe that these knowledges were things that had he wanted, he had them. They were his. But Allah made him unlettered. But his people took zero and gave it to the Europeans. They took numbers. They took Indian numbers and they put them into a means by which the Europeans who were using Roman numerals. Have you ever tried to add or subtract in Roman? Seriously, you can't do it. The Europeans would be foraging roots right now if it wasn't for Arabic numbers. They'd be digging up roots. But this ummah brought that. All these things. Carpets. Sofas. Right? Sufa. That's what it means. Seriously, I'm not making this up. People sitting on ottomans, they call them. Those things they have on their chairs. Ottomans. Where did they get that? Where did they get these fine clothes? They didn't have fine fabric. They were all wearing burlap sacks. They were wearing like hemp. Coarse material. You can see pictures of them. And then suddenly, when the Renaissance came, they're all wearing these fine... Where did those fabrics come from? They came from places like Mosul. They came from places like India. From Bangladesh. Really, gauze, cotton, qutn. That's where it came from. They didn't even have jams. Jam, jama. Sukkar, sugar. To put in their drinks. They were eating barley. Oats. This is the reality of Europe before Islam. Really, read your own history. He brought all of this good to people. Glass. Who invented fine glass? Muslims. They drink every morning. Who brought the oranges there? The Muslims. They have their orange juice in the morning. Rahmatul lil alameen. They're wearing their pajamas. It's a Persian word, pajama. Really getting comfortable in bed. Where did they get their beds from? Seriously. Mattress, matrah. It's where it comes from. All this comfort. They're wondering where it came from. They don't know. It's all from the Prophet ﷺ. He brought all of this that people now benefit. And it's you know, because they don't have this gratitude, it becomes destructive for people. If you lose it. وحكي أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لي جبريل عليه السلام هل أصابك من هذه الرحمة شيء؟ قال نعم كنت أخشى العاقبة فأمنت بثناء الله عز وجل علي بقوله ذو قوة عند ذي العرش مكين مطاع ثم أمين. That it's related, this is weak, it's weak, but it's related. He asked Jibreel, did this rahmah, did you get any of this rahmah? Is my rahmah included in you? And he said, na'am. I used to fear my end until I felt safe when I heard Allah say about me that he is taking this from somebody who is trustworthy, meaning Jibreel, and obeyed and ameen. So even Jibreel alayhi salam. So I just want to talk a little bit about rahmah. Rahmah is one of the greatest gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on us. And the greatest rahmah that we have in our lives is rahmatul lil alameen, the mercy to all the worlds. He is our greatest rahmah. The next greatest rahmah that Allah has given us in the world is the rahmah of our mothers, because we were formed in the rahim of our mothers, in the womb of our mothers. It's called rahm in Arabic. It's from the same word, rahma. And the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah says, شَقَقْتُ الرَّحِمْ مِنْ إِسْمِ الرَّحْمَانِ فَمَنْ قَطَعَهُ قَطَعْتُهُ. I have derived the name of the womb from my name, Ar-Rahman. So whoever severs the womb, I sever him. That's a kinship. That's your mother's. That's the great, and this is a time to honor mothers. Mothers are denigrated. I see it every day. You go out and you just look at the way children treat their mothers in this culture. really. So just the rahmah of our mothers, the ummahat. And what does Allah say about the Prophet? He says that the Prophet, an-Nabiyyu awla bil mu'minin min anfusihim wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum. He is more worthy of the believers than their own selves, and his wives are their mothers. These are our mothers, Aisha radiallahu anha, Zainab, Khadija al-Kubra. These are our ummahats, Nafisa, Hafsa, Safiya. What rahmah just to even know their names of our mothers. Do you think they're not going to be concerned about us, our mothers? You don't think they're going to intercede for us, our mothers? I mean, what a mercy. So rahmah is a beautiful quality. And I wanted to just quote one of the most beautiful from English tradition, because we're in the West. From English tradition, one of the most beautiful statements about mercy. From Sheikh Zubair, Shakespeare. He says, "The quality of mercy is not strained. The quality of mercy is not strained. It flows. It's not strained. It's not something you have to force out. It droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven." And that's what we believe rain is. Rahmah. The Prophet used to go out in the rain and he'd say, "This is rahmah. It's a rahmah." He used to go out. People run away from the rain. We should be going out. Rahmah. Rahmah, the rain. In Somalia, don't they go out in the rain and... They go out, don't they? Yeah. In Muslim country, they go out when the rain. Allahu Akbar. Rahmah. You know, the biggest blessing is the mizab in the Hijr Ismail. When the rain, people go and they're so happy for the pouring rain when it really rained. They used to swim around Kaaba when it flooded. It's true. They, you know, rahmah from Allah. The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath. It is twice blessed. Rahmah is twice blessed. It blesseth him that gives and him that takes. The Prophet, the rahmah, that he is a rahmah, it blesses him. Allah blessed him by making him rahmatan lil alameen. Barakallah fi. And then it blesses us that we take that rahmah. So the mercy is twice blessed. It blesses the one that gives it and the one that takes it. 'Tis mightiest in the mightiest. 'Tis mightiest in the mightiest. Rahmah is never more powerful than when it comes from powerful people. That if they want, they could crush you. When the Prophet ﷺ went into Mecca, he had all the power in the world. He could have crushed his enemies. And wallahi, we would still be here if he did it. We would still be here because we would be justifying it. He had every right to do that, take them to account. They persecuted, they killed, they did all those things. But he didn't. لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمْ الْيَوْمِ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. You know, he just forgave all of them for spitting on him, throwing entrails on him, killing his companions, all those, really, his own uncle, Hind, he took bay'ah with her. She bit into his liver. He forgave all of them. 'Tis mightiest in the mightiest. That's mercy. That's real mercy. It's not when you have no power. It's when you have power. That's real mercy. It becomes the throned monarch better than his crown. See, what did he say here? He said, "Zayyanahu bi zinat ar-rahmah." It becomes, it adorns the throned monarch more than his crown. The crown on his head, rahmah, gives him more embellishment than that crown on his head. That why? His scepter shows the force of temporal power. A king has a scepter and he can say off with his head. That shows the force of his temporal power. The attribute to awe and majesty wherein does sit the dread and fear of kings. So they have this power, and that's where their fear and dread in people come from power, that they can do what they want. They can take you away. They can hang you. They can kill you. They can send armies and defeat you. All of that gives kings powers. But mercy is above this sceptered sway. All that worldly power, these petty kings that think they're so powerful, they can send their armies, they can bomb people from the air, they can send their fire, they can incinerate bodies, they can do all of that. They think that gives them power. Mercy is above their sceptered sway. Mercy is a greater thing. It's a greater thing than all that power. It is enthroned in the hearts of kings. Mercy is enthroned in the hearts of real kings, merciful kings. That kataba ala nafsi ar-rahma. He decreed for himself mercy. The King of Kings, Malik al-Muluk. That's what he decreed for himself. Mercy. It is enthroned in the hearts of kings. It is an attribute of God himself. That's what he says. It is an attribute of God himself. An earthly power doth then show likest gods when mercy seasons justice. Ta'akhlaqu bi akhlaqillah. Be like the khuluq of Allah. Every name has a ta'alluq. Every name that Allah has of the divine names that are attributes have what are called ta'alluqat. The ta'alluq is how it relates to you as an individual. كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. His khuluq was the Qur'an. What is the secret of the Qur'an? Fakhruddin al-Razi said, the secret of the Qur'an is the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the secret of the Qur'an. The names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the secret of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is he was the embodiment, the mortal embodiment of these divine attributes on earth. And he was teaching us how to do this. This is the ta'alluq. And this is why Sheikh Bashir Shaqfa said, he asked us a question in the majlis. He said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna Allah wa malaikatu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allah and his angels praise the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh, you who believe, praise the Prophet. Why did he begin, bada'a bi nafsihi wa thanna bi malaikati. Why did he begin with himself? Because he was telling us, ta'akhlaqu bi akhlaqillah. Behave as God himself behaves. This is what he's telling us. Ta'akhlaqu bi akhlaqillah. Take on the qualities that Allah has adorned himself with. Because you are the majla of his attributes. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. I'm speaking now. أَتَكَلَّمْ. What is kalam? Kalam is a sifa min sifati Allah. You're listening. What is sama'? Sami'. Sama' is a sifa min sifati Allah. We're seeing each other. What is seeing? Al-basir. Basr is sifa min sifati Allah. We're willing. I willfully came here. I'm willfully speaking. You're willfully sitting here. Turidun wa urid. What is irada? Sifa min sifati Allah. Wa fi anfusikum. Tajalla tilka sifat. This is a tajalli from God. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ is the embodiment of his rahmah, of his rizq, of his qudra, of his jabar, of his qahar, of his izzah, of his jamal, of his rahmah, ar-Rahman. All of these attributes that Allah has described himself with, the Prophet, you can reflect on those attributes. Huwa bashar. He's not divine. He's not divine, but he is revealing to us something about the divine. His jalal and his jamal. وَكَتَبَ عَلَى نَفْسِي الرَّحْمَةِ. And that's why the sifa al-ghaliba in our Prophet is rahma. And then he says, therefore Jew, because he was speaking to Shylock, and Shylock demanded justice, he wanted, and he had a right to it. So the lawyer, Portia, is speaking, therefore Jew, though justice be thy plea, you're asking for justice? Consider this. Think about this. And I want everybody to think deeply about this. Though justice be thy plea, consider this, that in the course of justice, none of us should see salvation. If Allah is just with us, it's over. Where's the salvation? If Allah takes us to account, like the man who worshipped Allah 500 years, in the hadith, 500 years on an island, he had a pomegranate and a spring. He never disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, never. And when he came to meet Allah, this is a hadith. When he came to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, "Udkhul jannati bi rahmati." Enter paradise with my mercy. He said, "Bi'amali, ya Rabb, bi'amali." No, by my actions. Because I worshipped you 500 years, I didn't disobey you once, and I ate a pomegranate and drank spring water. That's all I did. So Allah said, "You want muhasaba? Hasibuhu." The angels to hasibu. Begin with the eye. What is the miqdar? You know, what's the metric? How do we measure the blessing of the eye? The angel said, 500 years of worship without disobeying Allah. That's just for the eye. Do you want to go on? Birahmatika, birahmatika. No, seriously, think about this. No, let me in by your mercy. This is the ignorance of man. We're all, if Allah took us to account, لَوْ يُؤَخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِظُلْمِهِمْ مَا تَرَكَ عَلَيْهَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ. Had Allah taken humanity to account, not one person would be saved. The Prophet ﷺ said to the Sahaba, "Kullukum tadkhuluna al-jannah bi rahmatillah." And he said, "What about you, O Messenger of Allah?" And he said, "Even me. Even me, it's by the mercy of Allah." "Lawla an taghaddam taghammadani." Yeah. Allahumma salli alayhi. Sometime my ujma comes out. La fudda fiyya. Allah yubarak fiik. So think about, consider this, that in the course of justice, none of us should see salvation. We do pray for mercy, and that same prayer doth teach us all to render the deeds of mercy. The fact that we're praying for mercy should teach us to be merciful to others. Irhamu man fil ard, yarhamukum man fis sama. Have mercy on those in the earth, and the one in the heaven will have mercy on you. Man is sighat al-umum. Everybody. Have mercy on whoever's in the earth. That's what it says. Have mercy on whoever's in the earth, and the one in heaven will have mercy on you. I have spoke thus much to mitigate the justice of thy plea. I have spoke thus much to mitigate the justice of thy plea. I'm trying to constrain you from asking for justice. And I, wallahi, we have to ask the Muslims everywhere. We need rahmah. All the Muslims clamoring for justice. That's what we're getting. People don't see that. You know, we want justice everywhere. Justice in Kashmir. Justice in Palestine. Justice in Iraq. Justice in Chechnya. Justice in America. We want justice everywhere. That's what we're getting. We are getting justice. This is divine justice. وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٌ. And he's not even giving us justice. He's actually forgiving us. All of this, really, all of this, what's going on? If he took us to account, it would be much worse than what we're getting. This is the mercy. And one of the great mercies of the Prophet ﷺ is that Allah would not destroy people like he destroyed before him. Allah used to destroy whole nations. Even when they disobeyed their prophets, not just disbelieving, disobey. Ma'asiyah. We forget that. So this is a rahmah. So this is a day of rahmah. It's a night of rahmah. It's the cup's not half empty. It's not half full. It's overflowing. Wallahi, it's overflowing. There's bounty everywhere. We need to see it. We need to become witnesses of it. لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. Be witnesses unto mankind. It's all rahmah. It's all rahmah. It's all rahmah. Wallahi, it's all rahmah. It's just coming. It's flowing. The Prophet ﷺ, his rahmah is it's just immense. It's overflowing. It's permeating everything. رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. All the worlds. He's a mercy to all the worlds. Jazakum Allah khairan, inshallah. Bismillah, we'll begin the program. Alhamdulillah. Jazakum Allah khairan. Allah yataqabbal, inshallah. Yataqammadana fi rahmatihi.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Was salatu was salam ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana li hadha wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. Alhamdulillah alladhi anzala ala 'abdihi al-kitaba wa lam yaj'al lahu 'iwaja. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. So alhamdulillah, we gathered here in multitudes to celebrate and express our joy and our happiness with the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam into the world. This is a blessed gathering. It's a gathering that the overwhelming majority of our scholars have endorsed. There's no mixing. The sisters over there, the brothers over here. There are no guitars and organs. There's no dancing. But they're celebrating Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And through the gathering and through gazing on the faces of those who love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then our love for the Prophet can be escalated, elevated sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it has to be the case. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to us, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. That no one of you truly believes until I am more beloved to him than his father, his son, and all of humanity. صلى الله عليه وسلم. So if we don't talk about him, where would that love come from? They say, out of mind, out of heart. If we don't remember him, where would that love come from? If we don't gather to sing his praises, where would that love come from? It doesn't come from a vacuum. And if we're not motivated and inspired when we get up from here to try to reflect the light that he reflected, then where will that love come from? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala told us about this Prophet addressing him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya ayyuhan nabi, O Prophet, inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadhira. That we've sent you as a witness and as a warner and as a giver of glad tidings. وَدَاعِيًا إِلَى اللَّهِ بِإِذْنِهِ وَسِرَاجًا مُنِيرًا. And one who calls to Allah by his permission or by his command or by his will. وَسِرَاجًا مُنِيرًا. And as a luminous light. So all of us brothers and sisters, in trying to love him and trying to reflect what he reflected and trying to embody to the limited extent that we can what he embodied of the various human perfections, we have to translate that into undertaking the mission that he undertook. Inna arsalnaka shahidan. We're witnesses for the people. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. That we've sent you as a balanced nation, a moderate community, in order that you will be witnesses against the people. And this witnessing primarily is talking about the Akhirah. So we have to not only prepare ourselves and prepare our souls to succeed in the hereafter, to attain the paradise, we have to make sure that we're suitable witnesses. We will witness against the other nations. If they try to claim that their prophet didn't deliver their message, the message to them, will witness to them that indeed he did. That indeed he did. So what is our state, brothers and sisters? This is the job that's been given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a job that we follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in. And if we fall short, he will witness against us. He will witness against us. The next time any of us do anything that's unbecoming of someone who is representing our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, think, he will witness against us. فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked one of his companions to recite from the Quran, when he reached this verse, he says, stop, that's enough. Stop here. And his eyes were flooding over with tears. If he was overwhelmed by the thought of witnessing against us, how overwhelmed should we be by the thought of being witnessed against? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadhira. A giver of glad tidings. We should be giving glad tidings to the people here. Many of us are ready to give up on the people here. Just like after September 11th, we gave up on them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in charge. We were ready to duck for cover and looked out and there were non-Muslims guarding the masjid. The phones were ringing off the hooks with old ladies volunteering to walk sisters, Muslim sisters, to the store to escort them as they go about their business, expressing support. The phones ringing off the hook. Can you come to my church to tell the people about Islam? Can you come to my office to tell the people about Islam? Where did that come from? It came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, don't hasten in writing off your people. I was just in Oklahoma yesterday. And the people there, call them what you want. Oklahoma Sooners, Boomer Sooners. But they're people with good hearts. And the only reason that a lot of them have a bitter attitude towards Islam is because we haven't told them what Islam is. We've sat back and we've let other people tell them who Muhammad is, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or who he isn't. Who he isn't. And they believe it because we haven't told them who he is, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we haven't told them who they are. We haven't told the people in this country who they are. وَمُبَشِّرًا فَخِيَارُكُمْ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ خِيَارُكُمْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ إِذَا فَقَهُ خِيَارُكُمْ مَنْ خِيَارُنَا فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ فِي هَذَا الْعَالَمِ مَنْ خِيَارُنَا فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. Who are the people that are running the jahiliyyah of this world? Who are people that are on top of this world? Who are the people that are calling the shots? Who? Who? Americans. فَخِيَارُكُمْ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ خِيَارُكُمْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ إِذَا فَقَهُ. If they get an understanding of the religion, then they'll be the best of the Muslims. I didn't say that. I'm not making this up. How many of you saw, I think, Philistine 101? Any of you see that? Or something like that. They showed it at Stanford. They showed the movie showing what's going on in Palestine to these rednecks. They were in tears. They were in tears. They said, we didn't know this was going on over there. This is shameful. This is a disgrace. They were in tears. Tears were rolling down their eyes. Don't write the people off. Educate the people. Go to the people like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to the people with mercy, with tidings, with tidings. This is our way. Mubashiran wa nadhira, and warning people that there are some things wrong that you better fix. There are some problems that you better address. There are some issues that you better attend to. Because when the wrath of God descends, I cannot stave it off. You cannot stave it off. And it can be very, very bitter. Nadhiran. Give glad tidings and warn. And don't be afraid to warn. Wada'iyan ila Allahi bi'idhnihi. One who calls to Allah. Are we calling to Allah? Are we too busy, caught up in our own lives? No time. When people need this religion, people's lives torn, drugs, alcohol. If we took a poll, there's probably not 2% of the people here. Maybe not 1%. I'm just trying to have a conservative estimate who use drugs or alcohol. Maybe not even 0.5% of the multitude here. What gave you that strength? How many who converted? Don't raise your hand. Answer in your heart. Before Islam, were caught up in drugs and alcohol. What gave you the strength to leave it alone and never look back? What gave you the strength to leave it alone and never look back? The message that was brought to us by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't you think the same people out there whose lives are torn by the very things many of us were afflicted with can't benefit from this? Don't be ashamed of your Islam. Be confident that you have something that people can use and bring it to them. Wada'iyan ila Allah. Call people to Allah. People's lives are being torn and shattered by moving away from God. The economy is being just, the environment's being destroyed by ungodly economic principles. Call people to the way of Allah. Call them back to sanity. That's salvation for us. That's salvation for the environment, for all these endangered species. There's a book out there called The End of Nature. And as you fly across the expanse of this country, you can see just expansive. The city of Phoenix and its suburbs is bigger than the state of Rhode Island. And it just keeps growing. Where does it stop, brothers and sisters? After everything's been destroyed because of our arrogance, now they're talking about transitioning to biofuels. At what cost? At the cost of feeding people the corn that's being made to put gas in our tanks because we're too lazy to walk 3 blocks to drop the kids off at school. They're going to down the rainforest to dry corn to put a gasohol in our gas tanks. Where does it stop, brothers and sisters? We have to get back to God. We have to get back to lofty principles. We have to get back to simple living. We have to get back to all the things that were demonstrated to us by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wada'iyan ila Allah. Don't be ashamed to call. Balighu anni walau ayah. If you know one verse, teach that to someone. If you know one verse, I can't be Dawah. I didn't go to Dawah college. It's ironic that most of the Dawah was made before they had Dawah colleges. Now we have Dawah colleges and Dawah conferences, and we don't know how to make Dawah. because we don't know how to treat people like human beings. We don't know how to be decent neighbors. We don't know how to be decent co-workers. Those kuffar, you know. We don't even know how to be decent relatives anymore. Oh, you Muslim now, brother. You know, those kuffar, they're najis. You know, that's my uncle, man. Kafir. La ilaha illallah. That's not the way of Muhammad. Salah. Brothers and sisters, open your heart. Open your hearts. Open your heart to people. We have to be giants. Because giant people have giant hearts. And a giant heart has room for everyone in it. If the heart is little, there's not even room for ourselves. Volumly nafsi. But if that heart is expansive, there's room for everybody. There's room for the drug addict. There's room for the prostitute. There's room for everyone in that heart. There's room for the Sunni. There's room for the Shi'i. There's room for everyone in a magnanimous heart. And that's what our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's what he taught us. He taught us how to be magnanimous people. He taught us how to be people with open hearts. He said he came to deliver us from the constraint and the strains, the straits of the dunya to the vastness of Islam. And that's in all of its manifestations. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And wasiraja munira. One of the scholars said, Mufassirun, he said Allah ta'ala didn't say washamsun munira. Wasiraja munira. Why? Because the sun, its light, cannot be directly transferred. If you touch it, you'll burn up. A lamp or a candle, you can light a million other candles from it and its light will never be diminished. And that's the relationship of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to all of us. We're all candles and lights that were lit from the lamp of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So shine your light, brothers and sisters. Shine your light. Shine your light in this dark world. Light up this dark world. Light it up with the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the love of the Muslims, all of the Muslims, with the love of humanity, with the love of goodness, with the love of truth, with the love of literacy, the love of reading, and never let go of these things, the love of children, the love of family, the love of family, the love of relatives, the love of community. This is beautiful. This is community. And this needs to be replicated and revived on a regular basis. Because this is the power that changes the world. This power right here in this room, this is the power that changes the world. And when it starts to multiply, like it's multiplied now. How many years ago? There was a handful of people here. And in spite of ourselves, the people are all out into the streets. In spite of ourselves. So nas'al Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at-tawfiq wa al-afiyah.
Mada aqulu fi wasfihi wa madihihi.
Zaytuna Institute Knowledge Resources are a means of connecting you to the sacred knowledge being taught and preserved at Zaytuna Institute. Utilizing the latest multimedia distribution formats, these resources serve as a means to facilitate the study, comprehension, and practice of the traditional sciences of Islam for students and seekers around the world. For more information on traditional Islam in America, please contact Zaytuna Institute at 510-582-1979 and on the internet at www.zaytuna.org, zaytuna.org.